The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. After his baptism, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him, in an instant, all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I think when Bob, some weeks ago, asked me to preach today, he was the only one in town who knew what the weather was going to be like. Gives a whole new meaning to Episcopalians as God's frozen people. But anyway, here we are at the beginning of Lent, and I'm not sure what to do with it. Lent, I mean. First of all, it bumps into Valentine's Day. So instead of giving up stuff, we're supposed to stuff ourselves with candy and chocolate in the name of the one we love. One economist estimated that the economy would get a boost today because jewelry sales would go up. I missed that one. It also coincides with the time of year when our two most revered presidents, Abraham Lincoln and George Washington, are turned into car dealers. And whatever we're supposed to do with it, it takes 40 days, which seems like a long time. I remember many, many years ago when I was preparing for ordination in the Diocese of New York, our bishop, a wonderful man, Bishop Donegan, told a bunch of us at one point he thought maybe Lent was too long. Maybe we'd do better for just 2 weeks in the modern world. Interesting point. Meanwhile, in case you haven't noticed, there is a political campaign going on. I thought of giving that up for Lent, but I knew it'd still be going on after Easter anyway, so there's so much of it going on, I fear sometimes it's going to rub off and affect my speech and thought. Should I call for a revolution in the Episcopal Church and turn into the Episcopalian Bernie Sanders? Or should I preach about 2 Corinthians as I proclaim that when it comes to humility, I'm tops? Should we build a wall around St. James and have the Roman Catholics pay for it? If I were to aspire to be a politician, the first thing I'd do would be to take a baking course so I could produce more pie in the sky. Plus, we know that large areas of the world are racked by war and violence, unprecedented numbers of refugees, persistent problems of disease, malnutrition, pollution, you name it. And so the world often seems like a frightening place, and we feel frustrated in our ability to do anything meaningful about it. How do we observe Lent in such a world? I think I'd start by saying, don't get too heavy and onerous about it, taking on great feats of discipline or sacrifice that are bound to fail. Or if you do, maybe Bishop Donegan had a point, do it for 2 weeks. And don't worry about saving the world. Just concentrate on the parts where you think you can make a difference in your life and the lives around you. So start with living your life day by day. Certainly, finding a bit of quiet time for prayer and reflection is always a good practice any time of year, and certainly in Lent. And no matter how busy you are, you can find a few moments for a little quiet time. And if you miss it that day, there's always tomorrow. Silence can be an important part of the spiritual life in drawing us closer to God. Many religious movements, certainly all the religious orders, spend a certain amount of time in silence. Some of them lead basically silent lives in order to bring themselves closer to God. Of course, every good thing can be overdone. I think I've told you this story before about the very strict order of nuns where they kept silence and were only allowed 2 words every 10 years. So this nun, after 10 years, went into the Mother Superior and she said, "Bed hard." So 10 more years went by and she went back in and she said, "Food lousy." 10 more years went by and she went in and said to the Mother Superior, "I quit." The Mother Superior said, "Well, it's about time. You've done nothing but complain since you got here." I once preached a sermon, a whole sermon on the importance of silence. It was so well received that many people suggested that I practice what I preached. Now, in this and many Episcopal churches today, it's common to print out much of the service in the leaflet. It does make it easier for all of us to follow, and I like that. And especially, it's helpful for those who are new to the Episcopal Church and not used to the Book of Common Prayer. But I fear we also risk losing contact with our prayer book. There is much in it beyond the services for Sunday. You ought to have a copy at home. And Lent is a good time to explore it. There are prayers for all sorts of occasions and purposes and people and causes. There are brief devotions you can use morning, noon, or night. The complete book of Psalms is there. And as some of us learned last Sunday in Mark McGowan's How to Be an Episcopal Millionaire, the Psalms in our prayer book were freshly translated for the prayer book in modern language. And a good companion is this little booklet, Forward Day by Day. We have them in the racks in the church. They come out every 3 months, and each day gives you the readings for the day. You can read some or all of them. There'll be a brief reflection. And it's a nice way to kind of keep on track. I particularly like the Psalms. They run the gamut of emotions, from triumphal and joyous to feeling downtrodden and at times paranoid. And you never know when you will come up with some verses that seem to fit you or fit you at some particular time. Some are even age appropriate. In my case, a favorite is Psalm 71, verses 17 through 18. O God, you have taught me since I was young, and to this day I tell of your marvelous works. And now that I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me till I make known your strength to this generation and your power to all who are to come. The prayer book also has good stuff as you work your way back, getting through the services and so on. There's a whole section, about 30 pages, of prayers and thanksgivings. Some of the prayers go back for centuries. Some are quite modern. But all have the capacity to enrich our spiritual lives through prayer for ourselves, our families, our communities, the nation, and so much more. And with this book, folks, that's not all. I know I sound a little bit like an Episcopal pitchman, you know. If you order your prayer book in the next 30 minutes, you'll get a vial of Jordan River water and a fragment of the True Cross. But seriously, after the prayers and thanksgiving comes an outline of the faith, commonly called the Catechism. And again, it's a modern version, and it's packed in that 15 pages or so with stuff about human nature, God, the Church, the Ten Commandments are there, about the Bible. All good basic stuff worthy of review and reflection. Now, I'll admit, even though I'm an historian by training, the final section of historical documents can kind of be a showstopper. It's a bit forbidding, wading your way through the Chalcedonian formula of the Trinity and so forth. But even there, you may find something, some bits of information or little bits that will enhance your understanding of our common faith. And last but not least, in Lent, I think there are ways we can all find to reach out to others in our day-to-day lives, maybe participating in one of the feeding programs and organized efforts, or maybe calling on a friend or a neighbor who is in, no longer can get out. Say a silent prayer for someone you know in need. The point is really a simple one. It is practicing our faith in such a way that we try to live the summary of the law, and that's in the prayer book too, to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and with all our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. I'll close on this note that even in our increasingly secular age, Lent seems alive and well. Last week on the local news, there was a nice story about a parishioner at the Congregational Church in Cheshire. She was standing outside, beautiful white, quintessentially New England Congregational Church steeple and all in the background. And she went on eloquently about the importance of Ash Wednesday and the imposition of ashes on our foreheads. Now recall that her Puritan ancestors fled England to get away from the Church of England, to get away from the prayer book, to get away from making the sign of the cross, and all manner of things they thought were the dregs of popery. Miraculo dictu, as they said. Here she was talking about the power of the symbols and seasons. They do count. And she spoke eloquently about the meaning of those ashes. And I thought this was great. She was offering them out on the steps of the church so you could do drive-by ashes. I thought that was really cool. I wanted to say hallelujah, but we've given hallelujahs up for Lent, so we couldn't do that. But in any event, find a way to make the most of Lent. And don't forget, when you can, to make this little red book a part of it. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.